Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Well, folks, the battle, the mother of all battles, has now begun. We know the nominee. Donald Trump last night announced that Judge Brett Kavanaugh is his nominee for the United States Supreme Court. And this is going to be the battle royale. It wouldn't have mattered who Donald Trump put up for the U.S. Supreme Court. It would not have mattered whatsoever. Both sides, the left and the right, are going into orbit over this. And we're going to be talking about that today here on the Mark Harrington Show. I know it's been a little while since I've come to you live from the Created Equal studios here in Columbus. That's for good reason, because I've been busy. We got a lot of things we've been doing here, and I had to put the show on hold temporarily, but we're hoping to get back in the flow here soon, so you can be looking forward to live broadcast from your radio activist, your voice of resistance, that's me, on the Mark Harrington Show as time goes forward here this summer and into the fall as we approach the November election. So let's dive right into it. Here's the thing. So I want you to stick around for the next 20 minutes or so. Give me 15 minutes, will you, to try to distill down what happened last night and just give you an overall picture from the perspective of your radio activist. That's me. What's going on with this Supreme Court of the United States, this pick of Brett Kavanaugh, and what it means for Roe versus Wade and legal abortion, because there's been a lot of hyperbole, a lot of exaggeration on both sides of the aisle, and I want to kind of bring some sanity to the debate today. So stick around, will you, for the next 15 minutes. Hopefully you'll learn something about what's going on, because we want to ignore the extreme ends of this as far as the volume on the right and the left as it relates to this pick for U.S. Supreme Court and what it means for Roe v. Wade. And so I'm going to try to, in the next 15, 20 minutes, give you the perspective that I think is the balanced view, the realistic view that we as pro-life activists should have in regards to Roe versus Wade. So let's start here. Let's just talk about Kavanaugh to begin with. First of all, we don't know a whole lot about him, at least I don't. Being an activist here in the Midwest, you know, I'm not an inside the Beltway think tank, you know, that spends time picking through this guy's track history as far as rulings on the court. That's not what I do. Others do that, and they probably have a better perspective on him than I do, and I'm certain over time we're going to find out more about him. But one thing we know for sure, I think, at this point, that he is what we would call a consensus candidate. It sounds like to me that Donald Trump was convinced that Amy Coney Barrett, first of all, and maybe Judge Hardiman were going to be too hard to get through the U.S. Senate. So he settled on Kavanaugh, which means he's more of a mainstream Republican pick for the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, that can be good and that can be not so good. In fact, the fact that if he's a mainstream guy, he might attract more votes, which means he gets through the Senate confirmation process. But along with that, if he's a consensus guy, if he's a mainstream guy, a Republican mainstream guy, then, you know, we don't know where he's going to land on Roe v. Wade and that kind of stuff, right? We do know this. He was appointed by George W. Bush to serve in the D.C. District Court. So we do know that. I mean, George Bush was, in my opinion, not a very strong pro-life advocate. I mean, he put up a couple of good Supreme Court justices, well, at least one of them we know of, Sam Alito. I'm not so crazy about John Roberts. But from what we can tell, he's more of a John Roberts type a judge. He's going to be kind of a middle of the road, possibly consensus builder. I don't know if that's good for us, but again, we're not going to know for sure until he actually gets on the court. And for now, your radio activist created equal, and much of the pro-life movement's going to get behind a guy. I mean, what else can we do at this point, really? He is the pick, therefore you got to get behind him in hopes that he's going to do the right thing. So we do know it's Judge Brett Kavanaugh. We don't know a lot about this guy, but we do know, at least from what we can tell, that he's a consensus pick of Donald Trump. So let's get into this. I wrote a blog, and Mr. Producer, if you can bring it up, the blog that I wrote on this, and I think it's, again, I don't have a whole lot of time to write pieces like this. So when I do, I feel like it's important enough for me to take the time to do it. I wrote this piece a couple of days before Kavanaugh was picked because I was just seeing the cheerleading on the right, just basically any pick of Donald Trump, we're going to get behind and we're going to kind of turn a blind eye to everything that goes on and talk about how he's going to overturn Roe v. Wade and it's going to happen in the next year or something like this. I mean, you just hear that kind of thing. And then on the left, you hear people coming out and saying that, you know, Roe v. Wade's going to be overturned. Of course, they're trying to gin up their base. Both sides are playing to their base. I don't think it's smart either way. But anyway, that's kind of what we've been hearing, right? The fear mongering on the left and the cheerleading on the right. And so I want to kind of go to not just go down the middle for the sake of it. But I wrote this piece, which is called Earth Activist. Brett Kavanaugh doesn't mean an end to Roe. And before I get started, I don't want people to think, oh, no, here's a doomsayer, Johnny Raincloud, right? He's going to throw cold water on this nominee and kind of depress everybody. That's not what my intention is. I'm a realist, folks. I deal with the facts as they are, not as I wish them to be. Of course, I'd wish this guy would be a vote to overturn Roe. We don't know that. In fact, we don't know that with most of these people that are ever put up. I would have been more happy with Amy Coney Barrett. I think that she might have been a better pick. First of all, if she was female, I think that would have driven the left just absolutely bonkers. Just the whole idea of identity politics playing into it. But, you know, that's water under the bridge at this point. We have Kavanaugh. So basically, I'm not going to take you verse for verse through this blog here, but I do want to make a couple of points. First of all, I talk about how I say earth to activists, and I mean that on both sides of the aisle. That is that the left and the right have mostly have been exaggerating the chances of Roe v. Wade being overturned, and I liken that to the song called A Space Oddity. If you see the picture of David Bowie there on the right side, the point is, that's David Bowie wrote this song. Of course, if you're as old as I am, you remember David Bowie. If you're a millennial, you think, who is this guy? You know, maybe I've heard of a song or two. David Bowie just died like 2 years ago. But anyway, he wrote this song called The Space Oddity. And it was this. This is ground control to Major Tom. And it was about, you know, how the ground control was talking to Major Tom in space. And, can you hear me, Major Tom? Can you hear me, Major Tom? Right. And this idea that they're talking from the ground control to space. And I was talking about this and kind of relating it to what's going on in the debate over the U.S. Supreme Court. And that is that there are people that are living in orbit over this. They've gone into orbit. And we need to be grounded. We need to be on Earth. We need to be ground control. We don't need to be Major Tom. We don't need to be in orbit, circling the Earth, dealing in hyperbole and exaggeration. We need to be ground control. And so I kind of liken the comments of the left and right on this to being Major Tom. Major Tom being in orbit, and a lot of people are in orbit over the replacement of Justice Kennedy and, in this case, Brett Kavanaugh's nomination. So to give you an example of that, Jeffrey Toobin, if you would bring up the tweet, the moment Anthony Kennedy announced his replacement or announced that he was stepping down, Jeffrey Toobin, who's a CNN legal analyst, and I use that word advisedly, illegal analyst, he's not, he's just a hack for the left, but basically he said this, And here's the tweet. Abortion will be illegal in 20 states in 18 months. Now, I don't know where that guy would get that from, first of all. And I'll get into that in a second. But this is the kind of thing, again, the exaggeration on the left. Now, we have exaggeration on the right. Let me read to you from a conservative author. Many of you know him. He's conservative Christian apologist, Dr. Michael Brown. This is what he wrote the moment that Justice Kennedy announced his replacement. He said this quote, based on his performance to date, it is highly likely, if not almost certain, that President Trump will nominate a solid pro-life justice. Okay, that remains to be seen. And it is then very likely, he says, very likely that Roe v. Wade would be overturned in the years ahead. Now, I don't know about either one of these guys, but I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't think they do. They don't know that. 18 months, couple of years. I mean, that's just kind of throwing it out there for the heck of it, right? But let's get into the details here. Is it true? Well, first of all, I wish it were. I mean, I'm one that would love to see it overturned right away, tomorrow, if possible. But we got to deal in reality. Let's deal with why I believe that both the left and right, both pro-choice and pro-life activists, need to come back down to Earth like ground control and not be orbiting the Earth like Major Tom. Okay? First of all, let's look at this. There are two reasons why the appointment of Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court does not ensure or make it any more likely, for an example, right away at least, that we will be overturning Roe versus Wade. Here are the two reasons. First of all, the makeup of the court. Let's just look at the makeup of the court. If you deal in facts, we only got one solid vote on the U.S. Supreme Court, and that is Justice Clarence Thomas. He's the only one that voted to overrule Roe versus Wade. In the Casey decision, he was around in 1992, and he wrote in the minority with Justice Rehnquist that Roe v. Wade should be overturned. Let me read the comment from him. Now, if you go back to the, you might be able to follow some of this down. Mr. Producer, if you go down there, you might be able to find it. There it is. Clarence Thomas's opinion. This is his opinion in the Planned Parenthood versus Casey. He said this, 1992. The joint opinion following its newly minted variation on stare decisis. You know what that means? Stare decisis basically means precedent. That is, the court treats precedent and holds it in high regard. In other words, they look at prior decisions, and they look at those as well as, you know, the U.S. Constitution in helping to make decisions. But it says that the joint opinion, following its newly minted variation on stare decisis, retains the outer shell of Roe v. Wade, but beats a wholesale retreat from the substance of that case. We believe, that's Rehnquist and Thomas, that Roe was wrongly decided and that it can and should be overturned. There you go. The only one on record in an actual U.S. Supreme Court case saying Roe should be overturned is Justice Clarence Thomas. That's one. Just one right now. All right. Let's move on. Current makeup of the court. We're dealing with reality here. Current makeup of the court. Justice Roberts. Let's look at him. I'm sorry. Let's look at Sam Alito next, okay? No, sorry. Let's deal with Alito, I think. Here, hang on a second. Both Alito and Roberts have made conflicting statements on Roe versus Wade. Roberts, let's deal with Roberts. Okay, he has said that Roe is a set of a law of the land. Now, what we want to do here, Mr. Producer, if you wouldn't mind, is to bring up the video of Justice Roberts when he was during his nomination hearings about 15 years ago now? Boy, it's been that long. This is what he said as regards to Roe versus Wade and what we understand to be stare decisis, which is precedent. Go ahead and play that clip if you would.
Judge Roberts, in your confirmation hearing for circuit court, your testimony read to this effect, and it's been widely quoted. Roe is the settled law of the land. Did you mean settled for you, settled only for your capacity as a circuit judge, or settled beyond that?
Well, beyond that, it's settled as a precedent of the court, entitled to respect under principles of stare decisis. And those principles, applied in the Casey case, explain when cases should be revisited and when they should not. And it is settled as a precedent of the court, yes.
Oh, there you go. So now that's not a total giveaway to Roe versus Wade and how he'd rule if the case came to the court. In regards to abortion, it doesn't tell us exactly, but John Roberts is a big, strong promoter and supporter of stare decisis. Bottom line, he is. And over the years on the U.S. Supreme Court, he has been a consensus builder. But think about the Obamacare decision. He tried to figure out a way to make the Obamacare mandate a tax, if you recall, and ruled it constitutional. So this guy is not a stalwart, strict, this constructionist, absolute person that would believe that overturning Roe versus Wade is something U.S. Supreme Court should do. At least overtly, he's not. That doesn't mean if it came around, would he vote to overturn Roe? We don't really know that. But we can't put him in the solid overturn Roe camp. We can't. He is still a wild card, as is Sam Alito. Now, I think Sam Alito, we have more reason to believe that he might be a firm overturn Roe vote. But let me read about him. Here's Sam Alito. When he worked for Ronald Reagan as Solicitor General, Alito wrote in a memo, he said this: "No one seriously believes that the court is about to overturn Roe." Now, this was during the Reagan administration. "But the court's decision to review the Pennsylvania case," "to review the Pennsylvania case, which is the Planned Parenthood case, might be a positive sign." So he's basically saying the court's probably not going to overturn it, but Planned Parenthood versus Casey does give it an opportunity to do so. We don't know where he stands exactly, but let's just, for the sake of argument, put him in the solid Roe camp. So a solid overturn Roe camp. We've got two for sure then. Let's just say that. We got Alito, and we got Clarence Thomas. And Roberts, still a question mark, all right? So we got two, one a possibility. We know where the other four stand, right? The liberal justices, they're in favor of Roe v. Wade. So let's leave it at that. Now, so those, just if you look at the makeup of the court, we don't know if we have the votes currently. Now, let's assume, for the sake of argument, we got the two. Let's just say we have Roberts, and now we have Kavanaugh for sure. Okay, let's say we've got those guys for certain. All right, let's just say that, for the sake of argument, that we have them. Where are we? Where's our fifth vote here? We don't know, right? Kavanaugh could be that guy, but we don't know. To me, bottom line is this: Trump hopefully will have another, you know, what is it, 6.5 years? I'm sorry, not 6.5, 5.5 years. Is that right? 3.5? I don't know. Yeah, it's an eight. Okay, 6.5 years. In 6.5 years, he might be able to replace Justice Breyer or Ginsburg. Then we can start talking about the chances of Roe v. Wade being overturned, because just mathematically, the odds might favor it. Because if you start adding to the opportunity of reversing Roe v. Wade, if you add to the number of justices that are on the conservative side. So then we can really start talking about this. But one vote does not overturn Roe make. Justice Kavanaugh isn't, you know, he doesn't run the thing. He's not the only vote on the U.S. Supreme Court. There has to be five. And right now we only know of for sure that we've got two. We might have Roberts, hopefully Kavanaugh, and maybe Gorsuch. He's still an unknown. He's a wild card too, right? So just the makeup of the court right now tells us that it's an uncertain proposition. So that's number one, just the makeup of the court. Number two, Number two is that anti-abortion cases rarely get to the court to begin with. And that's only about, if you go down, there you go, Mr. Producer. Here's the deal with that. I mean, the U.S. Supreme Court only takes 100 or so cases a year. They call it cert or certiorari or something. I don't know how you pronounce it. Certiorari. There you go. All right. Or they grant cert is what they say. In other words, they agree to take the case. 100 cases a year. Of those cases, rarely does an abortion case come up. We just had one recently. It was just about free speech. We had one a couple of years ago about the Texas law. Okay. But it's every one or two, maybe 3 years that we have an abortion case come up to the Supreme Court. Now, a lot of people wonder what kind of case would trigger a review of Roe v. Wade. Nobody knows. I mean, scholars differ on that. Is it going to be like a parental notice case? Is it going to be a transfer agreement case? Is it going to be some kind of regulatory case? Or would they need an outright ban on a state legislative state level to trigger a review of Roe v. Wade? So we don't even really know that. All we know is every so often, every couple of years or so, an abortion case makes it up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And historically, they haven't taken that opportunity to reverse Roe. And it's probably because the justices that would like to do that know that there aren't enough votes on the court to do it. Now, that might change now if they feel like within that majority of five, they can actually get those five to vote to overturn Roe. Maybe that's going to change. But what kind of case would trigger it? We don't know for certain. We don't know for certain. I tend to believe it has to be something like an outright ban. And my guess is outright bans aren't going to get the U.S. Supreme Court even with the appointment of Justice Kavanaugh. They're just not. They're never going to make it through the lower courts to the U.S. Supreme Court. So that's one of the big deals here is that, first of all, they got to grant cert to this abortion case, which takes five votes, and there are four that would be against it. And then it has to be the right case, so to speak, the right case to ban to outright overturn Roe v. Wade. And we don't know what that is. Like I say, two things: makeup of the court. We still don't know what our Roe votes are, anti-Roe votes are. And number two, the idea that the abortion cases just don't come up all that often. So Jeffrey Toobin is wrong, and so is Michael Brown. The idea that 18 months from now, 20 states are going to ban abortion and that Roe v. Wade is going to be outlawed or it's going to be overturned in a couple of years is highly unlikely based on those two facts, the makeup of the court and the idea that they only grant 100 cases a year or so. And every so often, every couple of years, there's an abortion case. Now, there is an outside chance, let's say, that not only would they take a case, but they might, when we talk about overturning Roe, what does that mean? That typically means for most people returning the abortion issue back to the state legislatures where it began prior to 1973. Most people believe that the U.S. Supreme Court would just overturn it. They would strike it down and send it back to the state legislatures. Most people believe that. However, there is the outside chance that some people believe that not only would they overturn Roe, strike it down, but they would then rule that the 14th Amendment, as written, protects the preborn. One such person is Harvard Law professor and writer Josh Craddock, and this is in our blog here. And this is very interesting. He tends to believe that there's an outside chance that not only if they were to overturn Roe, but they would actually find in the 14th Amendment the right for the preborn to be considered persons. And he writes in this journal, which if you go to my blog, you're going to be able to read this journal. It's very interesting. He basically argues that preborn humans are in fact people, as it was understood by the founders, he would say, and he has evidence to that, entitled to equal protection of the law under the 14th Amendment. So he disagrees with most legal scholars out there that if Roe v. Wade were revisited based on the right abortion law that would come to the court, he says that there's a chance that they not only would strike it down, but they'd actually do what the left did, and that is establish a right to life in the 14th Amendment, believing that that had already been the case when it was written, and therefore protecting preborn children nationwide. I think it's a stretch. I don't think it's going to happen that way. If it does, I think it's more than likely it's going to go back to the state legislatures. Then the debate over abortion begins in the state legislatures, right? Where we would likely have a patchwork of abortion law across America. It would take it out of the federal government's hand, out of the U.S. Supreme Court's hand, and give it back to the states where it was prior to 1973. And so you'd have states more than likely, like California and New York, which would be abortion on demand. That's what they would do. But you might have states like Alabama, for an example, or Mississippi, or who knows, North Dakota or something, that would ban abortion outright. And so you'd have these patchwork, if you will, of laws across America regarding abortion at the state level. Now, of course, that's not the end game. Nobody would be satisfied with that. No pro-life activist, no anti-abortion advocate like myself would be ever happy with that. But it's better than where we are now, no doubt. And that would begin the process, we would hope, that we would begin the discussion of a human life amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which is a tall order, I admit, that would require two-thirds of the Senate to ratify an amendment that was voted on and approved by three-quarters of the states. That's what a life amendment would take. And that's the long view. That's the hard road. But it's the road more than likely we're going to have to take, whether we like it or not. That's the road we're likely going to have to take. Now, let me say in caveat here, there is a good portion of our movement that believes that we shouldn't do any of this, that we should just defy Roe v. Wade at the state level now and set up this constitutional crisis, if you will, this battle between the state rights and the federal government, and let them battle it out and force the crisis where the state government would defy Roe, where a governor would sign a law to ban abortion outright, the attorney general would enforce it, and they would say to the federal government, the U.S. Supreme Court, basically, go pound sand. You know what I'm saying? And they would set up this constitutional crisis where they wouldn't recognize Roe v. Wade. I'm for trying that too. And right now there are state legislatures passing abortion bans. All we need is a governor to say, I'm not going to bend the knee to Roe v. Wade. So that's another option. That's another pathway that needs to be pursued. I'm for it. We ought to be doing both, though. Pursuing the reversal, or if you will, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which is what we're trying to do now by appointing or by nominating these types of justices, eventually leading it back to the states and hopefully coming to a human life amendment, and the defying of Roe v. Wade altogether as bad law, and the state legislatures and governors and attorney general saying we are not going to adhere to this decision. So basically, that's where we are, folks. That's where we are. I hope that this has been a little bit helpful for you. We've made huge strides. Don't get me wrong. We've made huge strides in this battle. But if you want to see, and if you would, Mr. Producer, let's bring up that clip from NARAL, National Abortion Rights Action League. Bunch of people showing up at the Supreme Court last night. Again, going into orbit, you know, flipping out the idea that, abortion's going to be outlawed the moment that that Brett Kavanaugh takes the oath. It's not founded in fact, but these people are just going hysterical over this. And honestly, from a perspective of an anti-abortion activist, it's actually quite gratifying. I mean, I will say it's enjoyable to see these people flipping out. Even though I think they're off on it. Let's go ahead and play this. This is Elise Hoke. Now, this is just a litany of liberal activists, left-wing, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual marriage people, just and LGBT rights and all that kind of thing, parading up and screaming about how awful this idea that Brett Kavanaugh has been nominated the U.S. Supreme Court. Go ahead and play this clip. This is Elise Hoge from the National Abortion Rights Action League, the largest abortion lobby group, pressure group in America.
Every single bit of spirit and mind we have. Thank you all very much. thank you all for being here. I am Elise Hayes. I'm the president of Neighbor Pro-Choice America. Thanks to Avery Harris for being here to protect our most fundamental rights and freedoms and keep
fundamental rights
from getting Roe versus Wade and criminalizing abortion.
That would not be about Roe, by the way. It's all they care about.
It's only nominated justices to the court who would get Roe, criminalize abortion, and punish women.
He campaigned
on that promise. He won political support from radical anti-choice groups with that promise. And we know for sure he will deliver on that promise. Brett Kavanaugh is a chauffeur of it to carry that promise out. Brett Kavanaugh broke with his second crack and pounded an opinion that a young, undocumented woman should be kept in jail rather than be granted the right to terminate her pregnancy.
I love the euphemism. You can stop it, Mr. Producer. So one after the other, you get these screaming pro-abortion leftists up there just freaking out over the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, which, you know, honestly, folks, let's all come back to earth here for a moment. You know, it's ground control to Major Tom for a moment. The left and the right, let's all just kind of calm down a little bit. Let's come back to earth. Major Tom needs to come back to earth and let's have a real debate about the facts. Let's be realistic about the possibilities. First of all, let me just say, I'm not Johnny Raincloud. I'm positive. I'm hopeful. I'm for it. I want to see this nominee get put on the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, what choice do I have at this point anyway? If I were to fight him, what is that going to do? It ain't going to help. This is Trump's pick. He's going to end up there. You can say you would have preferred somebody else, but it is who it is. He may be a consensus candidate. He may be more like John Roberts. We don't know that for sure. And we have indications that he might. But at this point, we've got five justices who are on the conservative side, if you will. Two of those, I would say, are fairly strong in their views on overturning Roe. The other three, we don't know. But we know for sure that they're certainly not going to go to the other side of the aisle, which it could have happened if we had Hillary Clinton. Just think of the alternative we might have had if Hillary Clinton was the U.S. president right now. We'd be replacing a swing vote on the U.S. Supreme Court with a solid liberal along with another liberal that you would have already put on the court. And Roe v. Wade would have been out the window for a generation or more. That's not the case. So we need to be positive about this, that Kavanaugh does increase our chances of Roe v. Wade being revisited, given the right case, whatever that is, and possibly overturning it sometime in the future. But we need more justices on the court. So Trump needs to appoint some more. So I keep sending Justice Breyer and Ginsburg retirement brochures. I've been doing it for decades and hoping that they'd hopefully read one of those and want to retire to, you know, South Beach in Miami or something. So we got to keep the pressure on to hopefully get that next justice on the court before Trump is out of office. And we're hoping for another 6.5 years of him. We also need to have the states defy Roe and continue to pass laws banning abortion outright. And we need to keep in mind that Josh Craddock could be right, that the justices might actually not only overturn, but find what the 14th Amendment says as far as personhood, that would apply to the pre-born. So, folks, here's the bottom line. This is the first step of many that could lead to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. So we need to be positive about that, but we need to be grounded. We need to be like ground control, not like Major Tom, not like the pom-pom girls, not like the cheerleaders, or not like the liberal haters on the left. And so what we're going to be doing in the next several weeks, you want to follow us on Facebook. We're taking a team to Washington, D.C. We're calling it the Overturn Roe Tour. It starts on July 16th. That's in about, 6 days. We'll be in Washington. We'll be at the White House, with the Supreme Court, and we'll be going to the Hart Senate building. We'll be visiting these swing votes, U.S. senators who are, you know, on the fence as far as nominating or voting for, confirming, if you will, the Brett Kavanaugh. So we're going to be lobbying for this guy because at this point we don't have any choice, and we want to be sure that Trump gets his guy on the U.S. Supreme Court. So be following us on Facebook. July 16 through 20, we'll be going to Washington, D.C. as part of the Overturn Roe Tour. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I hope this helped. Hope it didn't lead to any more confusion. Hope it cleared some of it up as to the realities of what we're facing as it relates to the United States Supreme Court now that Brett Kavanaugh has been nominated by President Trump. We'll see you next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington,
your radio activist.
For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net.
Createdequal.net.
Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders
in the culture war.